Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed.
Hey,
Ed Bondarenko. I was glad to have you on, and it makes it easy for me.
I'm just glad they let me out once in a while.
Exactly right. Well, what we do every Saturday on the Drift Radio Show is go over the news we put on the Daily Drift for you. And if you're not going there, you should. It's the news you need to know. www.thedailydrift.com. Check it out. It's not the news you find on the mainstream media. I peruse the web worldwide to bring those things to you. So get them out. Share them on Twitter, Facebook, Gab, Pinterest, whatever else you're on. I'm not familiar with other than the big three. But yeah, me neither.
100% liberal free.
You know, in the 5.5 years, I think, Derek, we've been doing this, I cannot recall. There was one guy from California who's like a closet liberal. He always has some crazy scheme. Talk about a tinfoil that guy calls in. But, you know, I enjoy it. Don't get me wrong.
I said 100% tinfoil free.
Yeah, well, I'm not. No. I love my tinfoil hat probably more than anybody. But, all right, let's take care of a little business. Next Saturday is April 29th. And the 9th annual Caregiver Fair in Livingston County. It's put on by the Livingston County Consortium on Aging. They're going to have expert presentations. They're going to have over 60 exhibitors. And this is all kind of aging-related stuff. So if you're looking for health care or taking care of older folks, that sort of thing, check them out. It's going to be at the Brighton High School at the cafeteria entrance, and that's 7878 Brighton Road in Brighton, Michigan. There'll be parking assistance provided, so if you, I'm assuming that's kind of like someone will park your car for you, but it's from 9 a.m. in the morning until 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon. It's free admission. So if you're looking for something to do, if you've got some questions about elder care or anything like that, they're going to have 60 exhibitors there. So it's going to be huge. They're going to do some free refreshments, some free great giveaways. And oddly enough, they're going to have a document shredder there. So if you got that pile of bills that you've been meaning to throw away but don't want to throw them away because you're worried about identity theft.
Don't tell my wife.
You know, I'm still finding stuff from like 12, 13 years ago, and I'm like, why did I hang on to this for so long? But it's a document shredder, so you can get out there and shred all that stuff up, you know, if you can't get in your backyard and burn it up like I do, being the hillbilly that I am.
I introduced my wife to my best friend when we got married, and he was a GE appliance repairman.
Yeah.
And when she met him, she then went back and looked like, I don't know, 7 years earlier of receipts she had. And here she had a receipt from Jim having worked on her washing machine, and she remembered how well he was in telling her exactly what to do to avoid that again. Receipts from 7 years ago.
Right.
Washing machine.
Yeah, you're not writing that one off.
Right? I love you, honey.
That's the thing. Some things you just can't write off. And tax days pass, thank goodness, that we're done with that. But make sure you get out to that career fair, the caregiver fair next Saturday, April 29th. And hopefully, I was expecting somebody to call in today, but if they can call in next week and talk about it a little bit, it'll be even better. So I wanted to also say the current May edition will be out in another week, and we've got a few days left. If you want to advertise in the Current, C-O-U-R-A-N-T, online.com, I put out a big print newspaper, and you also get online for free, and you can have your website hooked right into our
linked right news, there.
Linked
and the
right
occasional
there,
so. Mention on
the Drift. Yes, yeah, so you can get print, radio, and internet.
What a bargain.
For one
I need
price.
Something to advertise. What can I add? Oh, well.
Your Facebook page.
Well,
there
yeah,
you go.
There you go.
Okay. Well, anyways, we're going to start with the terror attacks, right? We had the big one in Paris, one police officer dead, another one wounded. And this is right on the Champs-Élysées. Am I saying that
mm-hmm.
right?
Champs-Élysées.
I've been there. I did Paris. I did a 3-day Paris stint. And I can tell I did it in 2005, right, when it was still Paris. I'm glad I did.
My dad did it in 1945.
I don't know if I'd want to be there in 1945 rolling the Germans back, but it was probably not a good place then either. But it's sounding more and more like Paris is not the place that I roamed the streets of in 2005. And, you know, I did all the touristy things, took the little red bus around and all that stuff. But I'm not sure that you can do that and enjoy it today as much as we did even, you know, 10 years ago.
A friend of mine was saying that if you're a tourist, even the terrorists there know what – not the terrorists. I should say not the terrorists, but the local new inhabitants, the fresh immigrants, they leave you alone. They know better than to mess with the tourists.
Do they?
Because that's – yeah, she's been there a number of times.
And, yeah, well, that's good. Yeah. That's good to know. I would hope that it would be the case. But, you know, when you see stuff like this, a guy pulling out the AK-47 mm-hmm. right on the main thoroughfare, I mean, you're really hitting – you know, what I saw some guy on Twitter the other day who said – Beirut used to be the Paris of the Middle East, and now Paris is the Beirut of Europe, you know. Yeah. How crazy is that? I mean, some of the best places in Europe are slowly turning into these hot zones of whatever.
Why do the terrorists get to carry and I don't? You know, why don't the tourists get to carry? Sounds similar, terrorists, tourists. I mean,
because terrorists and criminals never follow the law, and that's what the liberals darn, and these right. crazy yeah. socialists in Europe don't seem to get, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, and I wanted to talk about this today, but I'm feeling a little introspective, I guess. And part of me is, you know, what is it that makes evil evil in this world? I mean, these people, I'm fond of saying it, you know, the birthplace of culture and civilization was the Middle East, Africa. That's where mankind allegedly was born. We came out of there. But why is the Middle East such a crap hole, and why is it exporting all that nasty whatever? Is it Islam? There's got to be one common factor coming out of the Middle East that is spreading this violence and poison around the world. What is it? If it's not Islam, what it is?
I have Muslim friends. I have Muslims that work for me. Hardworking people, good people. I hate to say anything about Islam in general for offending them. And yeah. yet I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. A friend of mine went to Israel, and he says, man, you go to the Jewish-controlled areas, all clean, pristine. You go to the non-Jewish areas, and it's just a trash heap.
What is that? I'm not trying to paint everybody with a broad brush, because like you, I know a few Muslim people, and I found one of my favorite stories is the Muslim guy from Jordan in college who taught me how to drink scotch.
You know, well, that's not a good thing.
And I asked him, I said, you're Muslim. Why are you drinking scotch? He goes, when I'm in America, I'm an American. And I thought to myself, that is just the greatest thing to hear from somebody from a completely different yeah. culture. He invested himself while yeah. he was here. He goes, I don't really like going back anymore. I go back because my family's there. But he goes, when I'm in America, I'm American. You know, and I thought, that is just the greatest thing to hear. I love
Man,
that.
I mean, that's what immigrants are supposed to do. They're supposed to assimilate.
Assimilate.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's that melting pot. Yep. You know what I mean? It's when you dump too much turmeric in it, it's no longer going to be a melting pot of whatever. It's yep. it's going to be all turmeric or whatever it is, you know. And that's the craziest part of it. I just don't understand. If it's not Islam, maybe it's another part of that culture coming out of that part of the world that causes people to be violent and not take care of things. Because you look at Beirut. Beirut used to be the Paris of the Middle East. It was a fabulous place, right? And there you go. Someone's calling in from Beirut right now telling us to stop bashing it.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it happened.
But I was going to say, you know, I don't know that it's – let's just put it this way. Maybe it's not – Islam, maybe it's the lack of Judeo-Christian values. I mean, that marks Western civilization.
Yeah,
and they don't, you know, let's just say, it may not be Islam the religion, it may be Islam the lack of Judeo-Christian influence.
So, but there, I'm going to beg the question.
Oh, now I sound like I'm a bigot because we're better than them.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not saying that. But if there's something else, somebody please tell me, because I don't understand why those parts of the world, I mean, other than like Saudi Arabia where and Qatar and United Arab Emirates, where the city, from everything I've seen, I've not been there, sure looks clean, sparkling, and brand new. And mm-hmm. that's all Islamic-centered, you know. But why the crap hole? What else is there that's making that part and the parts of Paris that have now gone kind of hot zone-ish and heavily immigrant from the Middle East are looking trashy? It's getting bad. Same mm-hmm. in the Netherlands. Same in Sweden. There's something cultural coming out of the Middle East that's just not right.
Yep.
Let's take a call from Ken in Livonia. Ken, always good to hear from you. Go ahead, Ken.
Ken will tell us.
Well, I have to say it is Islam. Islam is the problem. Islam has been the problem for 1,400 years. Speaking to someone that's read the Quran, it's right there in front of your face. Kill the infidel. Don't take the Christian and Jew as your friend. I mean, from cover to cover, the Quran is the problem. Muhammad, check your history if you aren't aware. Muhammad was a butcher. Muslims who have been faithful followers of Muhammad, what have they been doing for over 1,400 years? Trying to exterminate the rest of us. So Islam is the problem. And why is that? Well, let's face it. I'm a Christian, and it's a fact that the same God who created the universe is the author of the Holy Bible, where the devil, working through Muhammad, was the founder of Islam. There's your problem right there.
Well, I'll buy into that. I got to ask you, though, if there was no Islam and no Christianity, then what? In other words, you know, you caught what I said about it's the lack of Judeo-Christian
values,
yes. It may not, you know, I understand there's the what do you want to call it, the things that Islam tells you to do, yes. But I think it's also the things that, you know, they don't do that Christianity tells you to do. I think you're right about Islam. I just don't want to broad brush all Muslims. Let's put it that way. Let's say Islam is that way when you read the Quran.
Yeah. Well, great.
Here's something that you have to think about, and this is the best comparative that I can come up with. Now, would we say that there are moderate Nazis, you know, going back and looking at World War II and what we were dealing with, would we have said, oh, well, he's a moderate Nazi, he only agrees with some of what Hitler has to say? No, that would have been foolishness. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to look at it the same way with Islam. You got the Quran. You got Muhammad. We know what Islam does. We know what Islam teaches. There really aren't moderate Muslims. Here's what I'm trying to talk about. People have to be aware that a practicing Muslim, when they are living in a non-Muslim nation, are free to appear as being secular. They can drink alcohol in public. They can eat pork in public. They don't have to go to the mosque.
Okay, that's the taqiyya thing, yeah. Right? But
well,
to counter what you're saying there, Ken, is will you take somebody like the most famous example is Zudi Jasser. So then you're saying basically Zudi Jasser is some deep cover person who really, given the opportunity, will slit your throat in the name of Muhammad.
What I would say is he is a liberal who wants to identify himself as being a Muslim, but if he's not doing what Muhammad did, he's not a Muslim. If you call yourself a Roman Catholic and yet you reject the authority of the papacy, if you call yourself a Roman Catholic and you reject the virgin birth of Christ and the Virgin Mary, you're not a Catholic. You call yourself a Catholic, but you're not a Catholic.
Yeah, well, and there you go, Ken. You know, I think you hit it right on the head because, you know, yeah. There are people calling themselves Muslims, and maybe some people want to call them moderate Muslims. But you're right because I, too, have read the Quran because I went through a point in my life where I was looking for something. I read the Quran from cover to cover. And by the time I was done with it, I realized what it was, and I tossed it aside and said, yeah, what a bunch of garbage. That was
I
my opinion,
only go
right?
So far.
Yeah. So maybe you're right. Maybe – you know, I'll be honest with you. If you follow the Quran the way it is written, yeah, that's bad news. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is because that book from start to finish has got a lot of things that don't identify with Western culture, doesn't identify with Judeo-Christian culture, and what we normally would call a peaceable civilization.
All I can say is if somebody came to me and said that I'm a supporter of Adolf Hitler, that I'm a moderate Nazi, he's not going to be a friend of mine. And the same thing I say goes with someone that says, I'm a Muslim. If you just tell me right off the bat that you read the Quran and, I'm a Muslim, you're not being friends with me. Because I'm not going to take that chance.
Right, right. All right, well, great call, Ken. Appreciate it. Call in again. We'll love hearing from you. Take care.
Take care.
Let's take a quick call from Alex in Plymouth. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good to talk to you guys. I'm an old friend of Ed Bondarenka. I used to work with him out at Willow Run. And he's always a very intelligent person to add to the conversation.
Well, we love having Ed. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who's this?
How much did you pay this guy?
I think I'm going to get some payment later in the month, so not to worry. But I do have a little commentary on a comment you made earlier about how the local Muslims don't target tourists.
Yeah, go ahead.
Back in November 18th, 2015, they had the Paris attacks where they attacked the concert growers, and they also attacked the restaurant, and there's a lot of tourists died in that.
Yeah. Well, so there you go.
I'm sure that, the average Parisian isn't out to get the tourists, but the problem is that you have terrorists all over, and they're targeting the locals and also Americans or any other high-value target. The thing about Islam and Muslims is it's a matter of concentration. I know I've worked with a number of Muslim people, and they're very nice, as is. I'm afraid that as the population grows of Muslims, that once they basically take over, as they have in Hamtramck and pretty much Dearborn, that you'll see the tenor change. Islam never had a reformation movement like, we'll say, the Christian church has, and they're still stuck back in the 7th century.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, Alex, you've probably seen it then, too, because something I've seen on Twitter, I've seen it out on Facebook, I've seen it in a magazine article about the level of population as Muslims mm-hmm. begin to increase in population within a culture. They move, and again, I can't remember what the Hijra, where they talk about they're expanding their culture to a point, and first they play the victim card, then they're, all of a sudden they're reaching a level where they're taking control of things, and then they begin to institute more Sharia-like qualities mm-hmm. into the culture, which kind of forces everybody out, and that's the part of their culture that bothers me. Yes. I'm like you. I don't want to see too much, and this is why I would, I'm not kidding when I say we should probably quarantine the Middle East, because there's a lot of stuff coming out of that doesn't belong in the rest of the world. And number two, in this country, I want to see the end of foreign financing of mosques in this country, because that's Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, that's the Qataris, financing mosques in this country and pushing it. You want to see the biggest religion in prisons going on right now? It's Islam. And it's not good Islam either. These are not moderates. These are people pushing violence and pushing Hijra and Taqiyya and the whole nine yards. So I don't want to see, because if you love Western culture, if you love being able to see women walk down the street without a hijab on and without having to wear a burqa, you better wake up, America, because something is going on here. And if you think it's okay and that it's fine to be tolerant, those people are not tolerant of you. And once they exceed the population, become the majority, they will have no tolerance, none, for Western values.
I think that might be because actually what we call moderate Muslims may be in the minority. And so as the population grows, the majority of them who are not tolerant, not moderate, then they start to take over.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alex, thank you for the calls, man. It's awesome to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You take care. Okay. So we should probably, so close to the end, we're not going to take that middle break like I wanted to, Derek. We're just going to keep going. Let's take a call from Jimmy in Manchester. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. What's going on, Jimmy?
Well, I've been listening to your conversation here, and, it just seems to me that 15, 20 years ago, the Islamic people that lived here in Michigan, especially, we've had a huge population in Dearborn for a very long time. Most of those people, you really didn't have any problems. We weren't reading about doctors doing these evil things to girls and and things like that. These people were more assimilated into our society. Some of them were born and raised here. Some of them were brought here when they were small children. I know several that have that served in the United States Marine Corps and have already been over and fighting over there. And they know that they're going to be some of the first people to be slaughtered because they're not Muslim enough. They
right.
kill their own people continually. And that's one of the main reasons why those people came here in the first place, was to get away from what they saw happening in their own country.
Yeah. Well, and you bring up a good point. So it wasn't just the one doctor this week. It started out at the beginning of the mm-hmm. week that one doctor has been charged for female genital manipulation on two young little 7 and 8 year old girls that I think they came over from Minnesota. So they brought them to here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how that all came about. But the fact that this has probably been happening, Jimmy, for 20, 30, 50 years, whatever. I'm sure if it's part of the culture, and I'm not saying it's all Muslims do that. I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with it. But if you're starting to see it more and more now, it's because the population has grown to the point where you can't hide it anymore, right?
Yeah. There's truth to that.
There is truth to that. And then I see it every day. Well, not every day, but on Mondays. The women are buying the meat, the lambs, here in Manchester. They buy more than anybody else does. For the halal stores in Dearborn and around the area and even in Ann Arbor. It's the women doing that. Now, that shows that they've gone to a Western culture, because in their culture, women aren't allowed to handle money or do business, conduct business or anything like that. And the buyers are overwhelmingly women, Muslim women.
Yeah, well, and I don't doubt that at some point, you know, if it were slow enough immigration, if we didn't have the wholesale immigration that we've been doing for the last 20 years, and if it was slow enough, you would probably see more Muslims here in this country who got more westernized. But when you bring them in so quick, so fast, and it's such a concentration, they're not getting enough of that westernization, right? And they're bringing more and more of that. They're not assimilating. The melting pot is not – I mean, I love Middle Eastern food. I go out. I enjoy that part of their culture. I like Middle Eastern music. Those they're not Spanish guitar, but whatever. They're called. Mm-hmm. I like that kind of music. You know what I mean?
The hookah.
What is
the
it?
The hookah, man. The hookah.
And the hookah. Oh, that's well. Right. I'm going to smoke the hookah. I don't know what they put in that thing, but, you know, that may dovetail nicely when they legalize pot here. I don't know. But, I mean, I enjoy that part of the culture. It's like Hispanic culture. Man, I love Hispanic food, right? Mexican food.
Yeah.
I use Spanish words in my vocabulary all the time.
Hey, Poles came to this country and you had Hamtramck, all right?
And the greatest jokes ever.
There you go. And Germans came to this country, and you got Frankenmuth.
Yeah.
And you know, it's nice going to those enclaves when they're like that. Arabs come here, and you've got Dearborn. But, you know, the other two are actually friendly to you. So as long as a culture is friendly to you and not trying to kill you, you know, or threaten you, I have no problem with them bringing some of their culture with them. But at the same time, you have to acclimate. That's the word.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jimmy, thanks for the call. The lines are lighting up. I appreciate the call. Call us again.
Yep, have a good day.
You too. Let's take a quick call from Todd in Whitmore Lake. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Just some food for thought with what's going on with the Muslims and such things that we're talking about. Think of it this way. Also, maybe you had the idea of genocide during World War II with Nazi Germany, right, with the Jews.
Yeah.
Okay, that was something that took place on a large scale all at once. Now, if you take a look at what might be going on with these Muslims and these little secular things, killings, why isn't it genocide with the idea of death by a thousand cuts to take over a period of time instead of one big shot like Hitler tried to do? Why is this not called genocide, what they're doing? Because they're trying to exterminate everybody that doesn't agree with them or want to fall in line.
Yeah, you know what, Todd? That's a great point, because that's exactly what it is. I mean, they're really – it's a devastating I hate to use the terms cancer or virus or whatever it is, but it's literally destroying – our civilization. You know what I mean? That's
call it what it is.
Yep, call it what it is. All right, Todd, great call as always. We love hearing from you. I hear you a lot on Wham now. All right, so we're going to take a break. It's the hard break. And Jasmine from Chicago, we'll talk to you on the other side of the break. Hang tight.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. Thousands around the world this Earth Day expected to take part in March for Science events.
The need for support for science is about as big an issue as you could have.
Dr. Rush Holt, CEO of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, politics will likely take center stage amid President Trump's rollback of environmental regulations the president has called a federal overreach.
Fox's Jeff Manasso in Cleveland, services for 74-year-old Robert Godwin, killed Easter Sunday in a random shooting. The killer posted on Facebook. Daughter Tanya Godwin Bates, one of his 10 children.
The gift that they gave us, that is the most dearest to my heart right now, is forgiveness.
Alleged shooter Steve Stevens killed himself Tuesday after a brief police chase in Erie, Pennsylvania. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, opener cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more features standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I am a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
No matter where you are across the globe, you can listen to Wham Talk 1600. In Southeast Michigan, keep us locked on your AM radio. But everywhere else, there's whamradio.com. All you need is a smartphone or computer. Just go to waamradio.com and click on the Listen Live link. See the latest updates to whamradio.com and be sure to listen to all your favorite shows live. From Detroit to Grand Rapids, Monroe to Mackinac, wherever you may be, Wham Radio is there, online and streaming live.
Ready? One, two, three.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there.
Hey, and Let's take over a little business. If you're looking for some excellence in rehabilitation, the Wellbridge Group, they have offices in Brighton, Novi, Rochester Hills, Fenton, Pinckney, and Romeo. They specialize in post-acute rehabilitation and nursing care. So if you're starting to reach our age where you have to get some hips replaced or knees or that sort of thing, these guys are a great place to recover. And I can tell you the location in Pinckney is absolutely fabulous. You can reach them at 734-954-6700. That's 734-954-6700. That place is like a hotel. It's absolutely fabulous. So if you've got to get something done or you're recovering from a heart attack or something else, definitely a place to call. You can also go online, thewellbridgegroup.com. So check them out, 734-954-6700. All right, so we're talking about Islam and how it's not necessarily fitting in with the rest of the Western world. Let's take a call from Jasmine in Chicago. Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jasmine.
Hi. Hi, Gary. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm enjoying my Saturday listening to you guys.
Oh.
Wow.
Fabulous.
I'm actually at work, so you guys make the hours go by a little bit quicker.
Anything's better than work.
Well, the time flies here, I can assure you that. I don't know how we went through a full half hour of the show without getting off of one subject. So what do you got?
I know. I'm fascinated. Actually, a couple of comments here real quick. First of all, I had a coworker who was sitting with me not too long ago, a few minutes ago, and when everybody was talking about the Muslims, I could have sworn that you guys were talking about liberals.
Liberals?
Yeah, because it was like, you know, she's saying, are they talking about Muslims? And I go, I think they're talking about Muslims. Isn't that sounding awful like liberals?
Yeah, my way, you or know? The highway?
Yeah, well, you know, that's the one thing they seem to have in common, right?
Yeah.
Total intolerance for anybody else's opinion.
And a fascist attack.
Absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to mention was one of your callers had talked about moderate Muslims. I consider myself a fairly well-informed person, and I see a lot of reports and a lot of surveys and polls, and they say that, if they're correct, that two-thirds of the Muslim population who consider themselves, you know, moderate or extreme, believe in some form of Sharia law.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how that's moderate, because Sharia law, from what I know of it, is quite reprehensible.
Well, they're self-described.
I don't understand. I guess I'm having a hard time.
Yeah,
well, I think most Nazis thought they were moderate.
That's right. Yeah, well, what you're quoting from is the Pew Research poll, which did surveys of Muslims around the world and even here in the United States, and found that an extremely large percentage, more than a majority of so-called moderate Muslims, did believe that Sharia law should be instituted here in the United States of America, and that's, you cannot have the Constitution and Sharia law. They are completely antithetical to each other. There's just no way that you can do that. And so if you want to be, you know, there's a reason in Japan there are no mosques. They're illegal. You want to worship,
right.
You worship at home. That's what it's allowed, because the Japanese realize their culture is at stake. And they've taken very, very few refugees in. I mean, we're talking double digits,
right?
The last report I saw. So the Japanese know something and are much smarter than we are. And let's be honest, even in Saudi Arabia, they're not taking the refugees from the other parts of the Middle East, right?
Right.
You got to ask yourself, what is it that they know better than us? I mean, they want the rest of us to take them, and yet Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia are not taking that flow of refugees like Western Europe is.
Well, I always get very frustrated when I'm watching the news and they'll have somebody on and they'll say, you know, when is America going to take their share? And Tucker Carlson recently on one of his shows said, he was questioning somebody and he said, you know, what is the cutoff point? At what point do we stop being, you know, against people and against being bigots? I mean, is it a million? You know, once we take in a million, is that the point where we're, okay, now we're cool now? Or does it just continue to go on and on and on? You know, exactly whose opinion is it that, you know, this is the amount of people we should take in that makes us you know, the humane country, quote unquote.
Right. Well, you know, for me, when it comes to the matter of immigration, I think we should stop it right here now. Anywhere. I don't care where you're from. We have enough people here and not enough jobs. And right. You wonder why people's salaries have not gone up in the last 14 years? It's simple economics. H-1-B's. Not enough jobs, too many people. And yet you continually to bring them in. And you have to ask yourself why the Democrats, who claim to be
for the people,
for the working person, for the working people, continually bring in new blood, new people to compete for the jobs that working people here in the United States need. What is going on? What is the ulterior motive of the Democrats to continually hurt working class people, to hurt the poorest urban of people? And
I think the answer is very obvious. It's money and votes.
That's exactly
Jasmine,
right.
Jasmine, you were talking about Tucker, and I think the night before last night, I think he had on the gentleman you were talking about, and the night before last, he had on a former, I say former, illegal immigrant who went on to marry, I mean, she became very wealthy working at Goldman Sachs, I think, and then she went on to marry into citizenship, which should be a crime in itself, and I thought was, and so now she's legal, she's here, and she's... She was talking about, oh, we need to bring in more immigrants for the economy. We need a path. We need a path. We have a path. There's already a path. The whole point is to stop the illegal path. But we have a legal path for immigration. But when somebody like that argues that it's good for the economy, I'm thinking, what about all the unemployed American citizens?
Yeah. Yeah, that's is a bald-faced lie when people say immigration is good for this country. It's not.
Well, I always think of if they're so great for their economy, for our economy, why is their economy so screwed? You know?
Yeah.
I don't understand that reasoning. And also that woman that you mentioned, she not only was she illegally here and married a citizen to become a quote unquote legal citizen, she went on Tucker Carlson and basically was proud of the fact that she had used a fake Social Security number.
Yeah,
to get her benefits, and that to me as a college,
And why is that not retroactively punishable? I mean, I'm assuming it's past 7 years or something.
She had actually said that she had used a made up Social Security number. Now I doubt that, but that's what she said. I mean, obviously the number must have belonged to somebody else.
Right.
But we never got Obama for using somebody else's Social Security number, so why should we get her?
Right.
I'm not too familiar with who Obama is. Are you talking about Barry?
Oh, Sotero. I'm sorry, Mr. Sotero.
That's right. And people complain about Trump's taxes, and we still haven't seen Barry Sotero Obama's birth certificate. Not the real one. That one online is phony. I don't care what anybody says. College transcripts, everything else.
If you're going to get hung up on facts, I mean, come on, guys. I always say liberals are kind of like, you know, 15-year-old boys who get a girl in the backseat of the car for the first time, that's like liberals. And the boys are with, like, the bras. They don't know how to work them, you know? So to me, that's like liberals trying to work fast.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, Jasmine, a great call, man. You're obviously simpatico with our way
of
thinking.
How did you come to call in? How did you come to listen to the show? I'm curious.
Jasmine is one of my Twitter folks.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
I do. I follow Gary, and I've been listening to the podcast. And first time I've actually been listening on the radio. But I follow the podcast, and when I can't listen to it live, I usually would just go back and go through the library and pull up what Gary's up to. So it's great to have a conversation with someone that's not like, oh, what? What did you say? Oh, my God, that's totally politically incorrect. You know, and I'm like, oh, get away from me.
Right. Now, because Chicago, right, is not so conservative, right? It's Barry's hometown.
No, it's not at all. And we've got that incredible joke of a mayor.
Right. Rom Dead Fish Emmanuel. Isn't that what Sean Hannity calls him? Dead Fish.
Yeah. I mean, we've got him. New York has Comrade de Blasio.
Yeah. You know. Well, Jasmine, great points. Loved having your call. Make sure you're calling again because obviously you are well informed and taking care of business. So,
well, that's
definitely.
Because I listen to you guys.
I think you might get a tenth of what you seem to already know from us, but the rest of it, you're obviously very well informed. So, spread the news out there in Chicago. Love having great calls like this.
I will.
All right.
I will.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work, guys.
Great. Take care. Thanks, Jasmine. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right. So, there you go. Chicago. Some conservatives in Chicago, right? Got to love that.
And, yeah, the difference is, proves the rule, right?
Right, exactly right. So let's kind of move off of this subject and move on to – there was something you wanted to – oh, you want to talk about Dr. – is he a doctor, William Federer?
No, I don't think he's a doctor.
Go ahead and let's talk about him.
Well, you know, given the subject was Islam, there's a gentleman named William J. Federer. He does what's called the American Minute. He has a webpage called American Minute, and he's been on a number of radio shows, and he's done his own show, and he's an author of a number of books, and he's going to be doing a talk at the Big Sky Diner on the evening of May 12th, invited by the Willow Run Tea Party caucus, and actually that night he'll be spending the night at my house.
So you're getting a full education through dinner, right?
And the next day, he's going to be doing an engagement all day at Grace Baptist Church in Belleville, and he's going to take between 1 and 1:30 to make himself available to talk to us on the air.
Oh, nice. Okay,
so
good.
His subject is going to be Islam and the Christian Foundation of America.
Good. That'll be awesome. Yep. All right, well, Derek, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the effects of this French terror attack, and will it affect the French election tomorrow? Okay, see you on the other side.
Your advertising dollar needs to go a long way, and it does with WhamTalk 1600. You can't find a more affordable economic bang for your buck. The yellow pages? That's covered with dust lost in a closet someplace. Cable television? Nobody watches cable TV during the day. They may watch 3 hours at night at best. Music radio? Music radio is background noise. Same tired tunes over and over again. Nobody's listening. That's not the case with WhamTalk 1600. You can't turn off WhamTalk 1600 radio. It's fresh and interesting day or night. People are listening. Around the clock, people listen. You're listening right now. So are your potential customers, and we cover all of southeastern Michigan with talk radio and information people pay attention to. This is talk and information radio people are talking about. Your business needs to be heard on Michigan's most exciting talk radio station. Your business needs to be advertising on Wham Talk 1600. Call 734-971-1600 today. That's 734-971-1600 for our super affordable rates and super advertising results. Start advertising today on Wham Talk 1600.
I emigrated from Venezuela, one of the most dangerous countries in the world today. A few years ago, the government came for our guns. We were told we would be safer without them. Of course, the politicians, the rich and famous, their bodyguards and criminals, they still have their guns. Everyone else lives in fear. Mothers and fathers are powerless to defend their families. But the drug cartels and gangs, the colectivos, still have all the guns they want, and 90% of murders are never solved. The biggest mistake Venezuelans made was believing that this could never happen. Today, they would do anything for the Second Amendment freedom that we enjoy as Americans. Never, ever take it for granted. I am the National Rifle Association of America, and I am freedom's safest place.
Families hit by drug addiction already know how difficult this problem is to solve. In many cases, addicts have tried multiple 28-day or 12-step programs that did not work. Narcanon Freedom Center believes that addiction is neither inherited nor an incurable disease that requires indefinite treatment or medication for the rest of a person's life. Narcanon Freedom Center's drug addiction program consists of unique techniques to assist addicts to overcome drug and alcohol dependencies and the damaging effects to an addict's life. This is done naturally, and there is no substitution drug to handle one drug addiction by inheriting another. Narcanon Freedom Center's goal is for each individual to achieve and maintain long-term success. Any family member or loved one of an addict, please do not hesitate to call Narcanon Freedom Center at 517-629-6749 and reach out for help. That's 517-629-6749. We are in this battle together, and as a team, we can fix the problem of addiction.
Jerry's channeling his inner DJ.
That's right.
Alternative bump music.
That's one of my favorite older tunes, too. That's from way, way back. But, hey, let's take care of a little business here. Burroughs Roadhouse has got comedy night. Matt Holt's playing out at Burroughs Roadhouse. You can catch him at 810-227-6000. Call and make a reservation. They're located at 5311 Brighton Road in West Brighton there. So you can go to burroughs-roadhouse.com to see him online, make a reservation, or call 810-227-6000. Great place to eat, drink, and see comedy. So check that out. Let's take a quick call from Tom in Detroit. He wants to talk about Christianity versus Muslims. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I hope I've got a few minutes. There's a few twists and turns. But, you know, you were talking about Obama, and, you know, I didn't like him. I didn't think he was a very good president. And as a person, I don't like him. I think he's kind of a part of a gang of perverts, as far as I can tell. But, you know, but then you look at your Bible, you have the parable of the one who had the 5 pounds got 5 cities. So he doubled his wealth, and he was shown to be a good servant. He got 5 cities. Well, you know, Obama, I mean, he's the guy with the 5 pounds. He got to be president, you know, that's quite an accomplishment. And I think that the same way the Muslims misinterpret their religions, the Christians misinterpret their religion, and it's not going to be simple because, you know, how do we know that God isn't using Muslims as a nuclear option? For, you know, I mean, I've had my battles with the United States government, and I'll tell you, these people, they don't keep their oath to the Constitution, and, you know, they're gonna send the men with guns if they don't like it. And I don't know, you know, you have a person, a Muslim, and they misinterpret their religion to think that, well, they're supposed to go on these killing sprees. Okay. I mean, can I judge how do I know that person isn't born stupid? And, you know, and why is he born stupid? Did he do something bad in a past life? You know, what did you have to do to be that stupid?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Tom, because having gone through the Quran, and I, to be honest, like Ken will tell you, who calls this pretty regularly, if you read the Quran word for word, if you take it at face value, black and white, what is there. Yeah.
The first half and the last half, too.
I mean, if you read it word for word, don't misinterpret it. Take it for face value. It tells you that spread Islam, kill the infidel, take no prisoners, and those that don't convert, we'll have to pay the jizya, I think they call it.
Yeah.
It's pretty black and white. So when these super extreme radical terrorists, I don't know that they're misinterpreting anything. I think they're taking the book at face value. Now, if you want to call a moderate Muslim who's those, I guess a moderate Muslim, if they love the United States and put Constitution and American values above their faith, those are the ones that are probably really misinterpreting.
Perhaps we should say cultural Muslim or perhaps nominal Muslim, the way we describe Christians the same way, who aren't really believers in Christ.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment real quick. The thing that everybody's avoiding, you know, I think in the Proverbs it says, don't rejoice when your enemies fall because, you know, God's going to turn away his wrath from them.
Yep.
And these people, you know, we've been bombing the heck out of, you know, the Mideast, you know, from halfway around the world. We're flying over them, dropping bombs on them, you know, and then crying about everything we can cry about. And, you know, I mean, they're following their religion. You know, they might be misinterpreting some parts, but in a lot of ways, you know, their religion is about defending themselves against infidels. And, you know, and you can say that Osama bin Laden started it, but, you know, and killed 3,000 people, but I'm pretty sure we killed more than 3,000 of them, and I don't know when it's ever going to even out. And I mean, that's
right. Yeah,
you got to say it, and so I did.
Yeah, you're making a valid point, because you know what? When after World War One and Two, I think when we interfered in how the Middle East was divided up, and I think we did a show on that a long time ago. It's not in my memory right now, but Transjordan and all that stuff got separated, and Iraq never should have existed, right? Iraq was originally three separate entities, and that's probably the way they should have done
it. Tehran Conference, right?
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. That'd be a show worth doing. You make a valid point. We've interfered in the Middle East probably a lot more than we should have, and, you know, is it time to get out of the Middle East? Maybe, but I think that time is the ghost is out of the bottle, I guess, or the genie's out of the bottle, because now they're bringing it to us. And are we responsible for part of that? Maybe. But for me, I just assume quarantine the Middle East. We certainly should not be bringing people into Western Europe and into the United States that have feelings against us because maybe we did bomb them in and we shouldn't have.
See, that's wise. That's the wisdom. But the proverb says that, you know, wisdom says that, you know, when they, I'm sure that means the world, you know, finally seek me, that's when it's going to be too late. So yeah, when we pull out, we probably will at some point, that's going to be the too late sign. And, you know, then, and I mean, that's just my interpretation of it. And yeah.
Hey, well, you're entitled to it, and you made some valid points. Well, I appreciate the call, Tom. Awesome.
Thanks.
Take care. Ed, you had something you wanted to...
Well, and we hung up on Tom before I could reply to him, but
he
said something about 5 pounds in five cities, and that's not exactly how the story goes in the Gospels. Jesus talked a lot about money in the Gospels, and what he was talking about in there was he was talking about a rich man who had servants, and he was going to depart, and he says, I'm going to spread out this money. You get 1 pound, you get 2 pounds, you get 5 pounds. And he comes back a number of years later, and he says, so I wanted you to invest it. What'd you do? And the guy who had 1 pound buried it because he was fearful of his master, and he just gave him his money back. The other guys, they invested it wisely, and they were rewarded for it. The thing is that if Jesus is the guy who's going away, who gave these talents or you know, pounds of gold or however you want to refer to them, when he comes back, says, I'm going to double what I gave you, or I'm going to give you control over this and that. He's talking about rewarding these guys for their behavior and their wisdom. And quite frankly, he's talking about how you invest in the kingdom of God.
Right. Interesting. Well, see, it's nice to have a pastor on the show, right? Okay, well, until next week, make sure you're going to thedailydrift.com and get the news you need to know. We'll see you guys next week. Take care.
Hey.